Listen to that. Just listen to it. It's got to be one of the most annoying sounds on earth. The way it just kind of burrows into your brain is enough to make mosquito side start to seem pretty attractive. We hate mosquitoes. But why? I mean, yes, West Nile, dengue, malaria, Zika, not to mention ruined picnics, sleepless nights, and bites that you scratch until they bleed. These are all logical reasons to dislike mosquitoes. But admit it, they also just creep you out. Jeffrey Lockwood gets at this psychology in his book, The Infested Mind. He's an entomologist who once had a truly horrific encounter with a swarm of grasshoppers. He was traumatized, but he also started thinking about why we fear and loathe insects quite so much. He told Raymond Tungekar the answer lies deep, deep in our psyches.
Fear and disgust basically protect us from things in the world. Fear, for the most part, protects us from immediate danger. Disgust, on the other hand, tends to protect us from bodily invasion, contamination, and infection. And so, you know, we're not afraid of a pool of vomit, and we're not disgusted by standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. But both of these, that is, falling great distances and becoming infected, are real dangers in our evolutionary history. And so we've developed very different sorts of approaches to them. In some ways, they're similar in that, you know, we feel that we need to get away, or at least we need to get the thing away from us. But they come apart in these important ways because the kind of danger that they represent is not the same. But that's not to say that some people actually can feel both fear and disgust, particularly in the presence of some insects, which is pretty interesting.
Okay, well, let's unpack this. Let's take fear first. How have, you know, psychologists throughout time tried to explain a fear of insects?
Right. A good argument would be that it is evolutionarily rooted, which isn't to say that we're evolutionarily necessarily primed to fear insects in particular. Rather, I think the way to understand our fear of insects is to understand that what we've inherited is a propensity. Some people say prepared learning. In other words, we're prepared to learn about these tiny skittering creatures. In a way, it's a bit like language, right? We're not born speaking Chinese. We're not born speaking Japanese or Russian or English. But we are born prepared to learn. So when the environment gives us an opportunity, we're ready. And to a very important extent, the same might be said of insects. And for, say, early people, that response was very nuanced, right? So you know, as a kid, your parents would indicate which ones were good snacks and which ones were capable of inflicting pain, and that was passed on generation to generation culturally. Now today, with the development of a highly urbanized society, what culture has layered on this attentiveness is almost always a negative sort of judgment. You know, very few people living in a city have good reason to have a positive affect or a positive response to an insect, right? They're, you know, if they're bed bugs, if they're cockroaches, or you're out running and you're surrounded by a swarm of mosquitoes, none of those are good news for you. You know, you might find butterflies kind of attractive in the park, but really most of your experiences with insects in the city are pretty negative. And so we've come up with this sort of general cultural, you know, rule, right, or heuristic, and that is, things with six legs are bad news. Either squash them or run away from them. And so that's sort of how we respond in terms of a fearful response to insects. Again, culture layering on to this evolutionarily prepared learning.
Well, what I never understood or what I find kind of interesting is that there's no logic to it, right? I mean, for instance, like compare mosquitoes and spiders. I think more people are afraid of spiders than they are mosquitoes, when mosquitoes probably pose a greater danger.
Oh, my goodness, yes. As a matter of fact, mosquitoes might be arguably the most dangerous animals on Earth. I think that you'd be hard-pressed to make an argument that they aren't the most dangerous animals on Earth.
And yet we kind of regard them as a nuisance. They're not like, you know, flying weapons of disaster.
No, we see them as more pesky than anything else. Although, just to digress momentarily, The U.S. Entomological Warfare Division did develop mosquitoes as a biological or an entomological weapon during the Cold War.
Wait, really?
Yes, they had the capacity to mass produce the yellow fever mosquito and even had done target analysis on enemy targets, particularly communist nations. They had devices, whole bombshells, and they'd even done releases, test releases of uninfected yellow fever mosquitoes on unsuspecting populations in the United States to see how effective they would spread and bite.
Wait, so the U.S. government released mosquitoes, uninfected mosquitoes, within the U.S.?
Yes.
That's incredible. Huh.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so there's a dark chapter of of mosquito biology and a reason that we might want to fear our government almost as much as we should fear mosquitoes, perhaps. You know, the reality, I suppose, is that we are only recently in human history, and basically in the last century, have we become aware of the imminent danger that mosquitoes mean. I mean, until you figure out that mosquitoes are spreading disease, they are just a pesky sort of thing. The name malaria refers to bad air, right? And so we associated swampy habitats with these fevers. What we were missing was the link to the mosquitoes. The thought was that it was the bad air that was causing these miasmas or fevers, when in fact it was the mosquitoes. And that connection is made, you know, about 100 years ago. And so we've got several hundred thousand years of evolutionary experience with the immediate pain inflicted by a spider, but we've only got a century of knowledge about the dangers of a mosquito. I mean, you know, if you think about phobias, so people have phobias of, you know, they might have an entomophobia, they might be afraid of spiders, but they ought to be more afraid of mosquitoes. And for most people, at least in, say, North America, what they really ought to have is a phobia of guns. But we don't. We don't see much in the way of, I'm not sure what the scientific term for gun phobia is, but we don't actually fear, at least we don't fear in a pathological sense, those things that are, in fact, in recent human history, most dangerous to us. And I think that's because we're playing with the deck of cards that were dealt to us, you know, 200,000 years ago. And it takes a while to change that sort of underlying infrastructure of the human psyche. So there may come a time when mosquitoes and guns are feared more than spiders and cockroaches, but I don't think it's going to happen soon.
Do you see signs, though, that we're kind of reaching some kind of turning point in that, though? I mean, you have people, you have established scientists and government agencies actually talking about wiping out entire species of mosquito.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that is a level of fear that seems, you know, maybe in a sense phobic in terms of the way in which we understand a phobia, or psychologists define a phobia as a persistent, excessive, and unreasonable fear. The desire to wipe out an entire species might qualify as a persistent, excessive, and unreasonable fear.
Is there any historical precedent for this? I mean, have any other similar insect species in the past been villainized quite to this extent?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's interesting because we, you know, if you look back in sort of the last 50 years or so, we sort of let down our guard and figured out that we were, you know, sort of immune somehow from insect invasions. And then we end up with Lyme disease and West Nile virus. Response to West Nile virus was strong, but not quite as, I don't think it was anywhere near as dramatic as it is to the Zika virus and mosquitoes. You know, the closest thing that I think I might point to is our response to bed bugs. The explosion of interest and the phenomenal social psychological response to bed bugs. And I don't want to compare bed bugs to mosquitoes carrying a Zika virus, because bed bugs don't transmit any pathogen at all, mm-hmm. right? And so they really are sort of pure annoyance. The response to those creatures and the psychological response and the stories of people burning their furniture and going to these extraordinary lengths to try to rid themselves of bed bugs and the social stigma associated with them, you know, was utterly disproportionate to, you know, to sort of the objective medical risk. But they were pushing our buttons. They're crawling into our bed at night and feeding on our blood and disappearing. I mean, they're basically little insect vampires. They even tap into that whole mythology. And to a certain extent, I think mosquitoes do that as well. They feed in ways that are very, very sneaky. They're taking our blood. You know, they tap into this whole notion of the vampire as well, of something that's difficult to kill, that always returns, that can't quite be defeated by technology, and that invades our home and our bodies in this very intimate and frightening way.
You know, I also wonder if, I mean, one of the reasons it's so unnerving is that, I mean, in an era in which we have the power to bioengineer an entire species out of existence, it's really humbling to know that a lowly mosquito could have such power over us. It's kind of insane and humbling in a way.
No, and actually I was just talking to a potential graduate student the other day who was applying to our program in ecology, and I was talking about entomology and saying that, you know, one of the wonderful things about being an entomologist is this sort of humility that comes with it when you really understand, you know, what's running the world, and you begin to understand how tenuous our sense of technological control is and how limited our knowledge is. I mean, that's the worry with this notion of bioengineering a species out of existence. I mean, the two great worries are, in one sense, what role might this species be playing in the environment, especially a widely distributed species, playing in terms of the transmission of pathogens to or other organisms that are important to environmental processes? What other roles might this thing be playing in terms of nutrient cycling and whatnot? So what we know is that it does one thing, right? And we know that it transmits this virus to us. All the other things, all the other ecological functions that this species might be playing are, for the most part, poorly known or completely unknown. So that's the one worry. And of course, on the other side is the worry of the slippery slope. If we were to do this, how do we know what the next target is? Is it cockroaches? Should it be rats? How about pigeons? Is it okay to wipe out bed bugs? They're annoying and they don't seem to play much role at all in ecological processes. And so once we begin down this path, how do we know which organisms warrant extinction? Where do we stop?
Jeffrey Lockwood is an entomologist. His latest book is called The Infested Mind: Why Humans Fear, Loathe, and Love Insects. Raymond Tungekar talked with him.